So we are gradually coming to the end of the church's liturgical year. So today is the 32nd Sunday in the ordinary time of the year. Next Sunday will be the 33rd Sunday, and the following Sunday will be the Feast of Christ the King. With the Feast of Christ the King, we come to the end of the church's liturgical year. And then following Sunday will be the first Sunday of Advent, which is the beginning of the year for the church. So it is therefore very interesting that as we were coming to the end of the church's liturgical year, the church begins to present to us passages from the Holy Scripture that speak about the end of time, that speak about the end of the world, that speak about the last things in life, what happens to you and me when the light will finally go off, and the world as we know it will cease to exist. And so the church insists that we have to look hard at this reality called death. Everyone tries to avoid the topic of dying. That is the most uncomfortable thought. Whenever it comes to us and we realize that we're gonna die, we are very uncomfortable. But the reality of our mortality is always present. We all shall die one day. And that is what the scripture readings of today's Mass is trying to bring to the forefront to us, to confront about the truth of our mortality. The first reading from the Book of Wisdom is also telling us to be wise, embrace wisdom. Because when me and you embrace wisdom, we know what to do to prepare for that last day, the day the Lord will call us. We are encouraged to be wise and prudent. And that is the same issue we see in the second reading of today. Because what we read today is the early Christians trying to make meaning out of what we know as dying. St. Paul was addressing the issue for them. And what St. Paul told the early Christians is very comforting to us. So listen to Paul in the second reading, talking about dying. He said, "We do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, about those who have fallen asleep, so that you may not grieve like the rest who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose. So too will God, through Jesus, bring with him those who have fallen asleep." And St. Paul said, if we believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead, so will all who believe in him be raised from the dead. And this is what stands at the heart of the Christian faith. Our faith as Christians centers on what we have read just now, that we who believe in Jesus, when we die, we shall also rise with him. The dead will rise. In Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, we hope to rise from the dead with him. And that is what baptism signifies. That all who we are baptized into Christ Jesus will also be transformed with him. And so having heard this, I wonder how we all feel when we remember we shall die. Because what St. Paul was describing in today's reading is an experience that all of us in this church we have in the next 90 years. All of us in this church in the next 90 years will cease to exist except the babies, including me that is talking right now. I will not be here in the next 90 years. And so knowing that this is an experience that we all will surely have, the issue then that the church is raising for us today is, how are we preparing? Because if we know that we shall die, we shall live differently. When me and you is very conscious of our mortality, the way we look at life will be different. And that is the wisdom that is being emphasized in the first reading of today. So Jesus then begins to tell us how to prepare. In the gospel we read about Jesus telling the story about the 10 virgins. And the Bible describes these 10 virgins as wise and foolish. 5, we are wise. 5, we are foolish. Why were they described that way? We saw that they were there to accompany the bride as the bride was waiting for the bridegroom to arrive. The gospel we read today is also a metaphor of our lives. You know, when we begin to analyze it, we begin to ask questions. You know, in this story about the wedding banquet, where the people were there waiting for the bridegroom, we begin to ask ourselves, who is the bridegroom? So if I ask you, who is the bridegroom in this story, what will you say? Feel free, yeah, Jesus. And then who is the bride? Because the bride was the one waiting for the bridegroom to come. Who is the bride? The church. And who is the church? St. Bruno. Yeah. So, I'm so happy that you all understood this right now, that the bride is the church and the bridegroom is Jesus. Jesus is the bridegroom that is willing to take the bride into this heavenly realm. Because what we read today is a story about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like what happened here. Jesus, the bridegroom, coming to take his bride, which is you and me, the church, into this heavenly realm, where we shall all experience the joy that looks like being in a wedding banquet. And then the story goes further to tell us about how the participants prepared themselves. 5 came with their lanterns and with oil. The other 5 came with their lanterns and without their oil. And we were told that the bridegroom will come at a time they were not expected, which is true. How many of us here knows the day we shall die? Who knows? Including myself. Even if you say, okay, I will take the medical assistance in dying, the day you will die, you will not know. You will not be able to decipher that. And so the bridegroom will always come on a day that we are not expecting. And that is what this story is trying to explain to us. And then the central question then becomes, how are we preparing? Are we like the virgins who came prepared? Or are we like the virgins who came unprepared? What is it that the church is asking of me and you through this story? It is left for us then to do what we call examination of conscience, to know how prepared we are to receive the bridegroom when he comes knocking on the door, asking that today will be the day he wants us to come. And so looking at the story, we are asked to imitate the example of the virgins, the 5 virgins that came prepared. And what we are told that they had their lantern, the lights were on, and they have also oil that will sustain the light. What does that mean? What, in your own interpretation, do you consider to be the oil? Because we are talking about the spiritual life. What is it in me and you that will sustain us in the spiritual life? The sacraments, yes. I'm hearing a lot right now. I wish I'm recording this. What else again? Prayers. So we have to sustain our prayer life. Prayer is very, very important. Prayer, not only personal prayer, but also what we call liturgical prayer. What we are doing right now, celebrating this Mass, is liturgical prayer. We have to do the best we can to sustain that relationship with God by the life of prayer. Any of us who does not pray is also putting himself or herself at risk of being someone who is unprepared. There is nothing that prepares us for the day of death like prayer. And so we have to do everything we can to make sure that our relationship with God is not put in disrepair. And that is what prayer does. Prayer helps us to continue to remain in strong relationship with God. Apart from prayer, I will also recommend that we form the habit of going to confession. Do you know what confession means? The sacrament of reconciliation. I want us to form the habit of constantly receiving the sacrament of reconciliation, not in a scrupulous way, but whenever me and you feel within our heart that we have done wrong, that is when we come here on Saturday and seek out the confessional and then confess our sins. When me and you are doing that, we are actually coming to God, letting him know how sorry we feel, and at the same time, receiving forgiveness of our sins. Very important. Myself, a priest, I go to confession, and I hope that all of us will also embrace that habit of constantly seeking out the sacrament of reconciliation, because nothing prepares you and me for the final day as going to confession and receiving forgiveness of our sins. Another thing we have to think about is how we handle grudges, how we handle forgiveness, and how we handle ill feelings and hatred. I work in the hospital. If you're not a hospice nurse here, I have been by so many death beds more than you. Unless you are a hospice nurse that takes care of those who are dying, myself as a priest working in a hospital, I have been by the bedside of people dying more than anybody in this church. And what is the central thing I see when people are coming to the end of their lives? There is always regret expressed for moments that was lost in making peace with people you are deeply related to. Always hold your relationships in high esteem so that nothing breaks the love you have for family, for spouse, for children. Once that is broken and there is no forgiveness, there is no reconciliation, it is always difficult to die in that state of, you know, affairs. When we are unable to effect reconciliation before our dying. So if we are having something like grudges, inability to forgive, think about it. Because that is a way we are also preparing ourselves for the last day. And so, my brothers and sisters, what we have read today is very, very significant. And so, let us pray in this Mass that the Lord may give us the grace that these recommendations that we have made, that we can embrace it, so that we may not be caught unawares like the foolish virgins when Christ, the Divine Master and the Bridegroom, will come to take us. With this in mind, let us continue with our Mass.